It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio. Johnny Radio.
Yo, welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. It's a thirsty Thursday, and we busy, man. Guess what? We got somebody back in the crib. Isaac Simpson. He's going to be back, man. My man has been sick as a dog. I'm serious. I've been sending out serious, like, well wishes and some prayers and all that good stuff. Because homie had to go to the hospital for, like, 6 days. He's back. He's okay, people. And we are blessed because he will be joining us to talk about the NBA. And you know that the play-in tournament will finish up tomorrow night. You got the Bulls and the Heat. Woo-hoo-hoo, what a games from last night. We're definitely going to talk about them. And we're also going to look forward because what are the Bulls going to do now that Jimmy Buckets tore his MCL? He's going to be out indefinitely for at least a few weeks. The man gutted through that performance, hurt his knee early in that game last night, kept on fighting. It looked bad when he hurt himself. It really did. Like, I was like, dude, he ain't going to continue playing. And I'm glad that I did what I did because then I doubled down on my bet. I was still getting a minus the 190 money line. I was just like, screw the spread. They're going to win this game. Buckets is hurt. And then all of a sudden, the 76ers looked terrible and were getting killed, couldn't put the ball in the hole. The zone defense from the Heat had them completely out of whack. Completely out of whack. Luckily, the second half, they played much better basketball. We'll definitely break down what we saw last night. But, man, the Heat are in trouble. And it's not just because they don't have Jimmy Buckets. But where the hell did Coby White come from?
Johnny's been playing this good basketball all season long. He has been one of my favorite stories in the NBA this year.
Two things that I 100% have definitely know that I've said of lately, that I think the Bulls are just absolutely terrible to watch because I've seen a couple of their games and I've also bet on them in a couple games this year and I lost them. So I didn't like the Bulls very much. I said Drummond yesterday. Mr. Dacus made a comment.
Potential future Memphis Grizzly.
Memphis Grizzly, yes. And I said, a couple of the worst plays that I've seen this year were by Andre Drummond. In fact, I know some of y'all because they were on like the not top plays of the year. The thing was, though, did you see the energy that he played with last night?
Oh, yeah.
Damn. And I started looking at the numbers. Do you realize when he's on the court, they're the best rebounding team in the league?
Mm-hmm.
What? And I mean, it's not like you got to run anything for him to score. There's plenty of scores for the Grizzlies. Rebound the damn basketball, play defense, and that's exactly what he did. And I'll say one thing. That version of Drummond, it's like he's now on a minimum contract, doesn't have that super money coming in. He's not considered a superstar. He's an afterthought. And you know what? He's playing harder than he's ever played before in his life, I feel like. He looked really damn good. And one other thing, for the Atlanta Hawks, do not move off DeJounte Murray. Is that really going to happen? He was one of the biggest talks at the trade deadline. Everybody was talking about what's going to happen with DeJounte Murray. He's the best player on your team. It's not Trae Young. And I know he's got his hurt hand and he missed what from the end of February. He missed weeks. And yes, he was playing banged up. And yes, he can light up a scoreboard and he can fill it. But tell me one thing that DeJounte Murray does not do great. He is as complete a player as there is that possibly could be available at the trade deadline. My goodness. If he really is moving up on out of there, Spurs, now the Hawks, somebody's going to get themselves a baller. He has been in two situations that I think were untenable. I mean, him and Trae Young don't like each other. You can tell that. You've heard the rumors. Did you see at the end of the first half when Trae Young threw the behind-the-back pass as time was ticking off and DeJounte was like clapping for the ball before then? Didn't even get a shot off.
Wow.
There's 12 seconds left in the first half. Trae Young's just standing up there at the front. They got the ball. They're going to take the last shot at the half. And then he gets cutesy with a behind-the-back pass that wasn't right on target. DeJounte Murray has to go and get it so it doesn't go out of bounds. Then he tries to run and get a shot off. And, of course, guess what happened? It was just too damn late. And by the way, just so you know, they could have used that. The Bulls in the second half, my goodness, the defense was awesome. The Hawks couldn't score. And it was Colby bleeping White. That dude was playing at a different speed, it felt like, than everybody else for the Hawks. And I know that he's been playing good. But, you know, this is the playoffs. This is where, you know, things get different. And I will promise you this. When he came out of North Carolina, I didn't think he was going to be a good NBA player. Now, he has been around the league, what, 5 years? And it's taken him a little while in a couple of different destinations. It didn't work out in L.A. But now look at what he's doing. Holy hell. He can just get to the rack. And did you see the spin move between two defenders in the finish yesterday?
Buddy.
That was so cold-blooded. Yeah. I mean, plus I love his hair. I mean, he's got great hair. Like, he's always had the look. He just didn't have the game. Well, I will say one thing. Colby White, his game last night was the difference. 42 points, 9 rebounds, 6 dimes.
I was pushing for him to win an award earlier this season. I can't remember what it was. It might have been Comeback Player of the Year. Or Most Improved Player of the Year. Comeback Player of the Year is not a thing.
Most Improved.
I think it was Most Improved. I was pushing for him early this season.
Billy Donovan, you got to tip your cap to him.
Got to.
You also got to tip your cap to Colby White, because this is a kid who was also in a lot of bad situations where he wasn't getting a lot of playing time. Mm-hmm. You can tell the kids put in that work.
Well, also,
and that's one thing that I have nothing but the utmost respect. When you've been a star your whole life and then you get there and things don't work out, a lot of people just hang their head and cry.
Yeah.
He put in the work, and man, he's going to get rewarded for it.
Absolutely. Two things on that, because you bring up two really good points. One, Colby White only started 2 games last year. Played in 74, but only started in 2 of them.
Games.
Came off the bench all year long. This year, has played in 79 games, has started in 78 of them. But you also talk about Billy Donovan. You got to give Billy Donovan a ton of credit for another reason, because I don't know if you remember this, John, but right before the trade deadline, every rumor out there was the Bulls are going to blow this thing up and they're going to restart. They're going to trade everybody. They're going to tank, all that stuff. And the fact that he's been able, first off, that they retained all these guys, and second off, that he's been able to keep them bought in to even make the play in has been impressive, in my opinion.
Damn right it has been. It really, really has. And it's just crazy also to just get – before I get off this Bulls team, DeMar DeRozan, did you know he's the oldest player in the NBA to lead the league in minutes since 1951-52 season?
Wow.
Bro averaged 37.8 minutes per game this season, and again, he's 34 years old, and he balled out. Very underrated. The Bulls, who, of course, I still am not thinking that they're going to make a lot of noise this season, last year's Miami Heat team. And by the way, this Miami Heat team will not be last year's Miami Heat team, because Jimmy Buckets now, MCL, he is completely screwed. The game, though, on Friday, Bulls versus the Heat. We're going to talk about it with Isaac Simpson. Early line, Miami -1.5. Have they been affected without Jimmy Buckets? Yes. Are they going to have to get a lot more out of Bam and now Tyler Hero? Hell yes. Is Kyle Lowry going to have to actually make some big shots? Damn right he is.
And will they have Rozier back?
That's a great question. That's something that, you know, you're going to have to keep your eye on. But one thing I do have to say is that Bulls team, and I know it was against the Hawks, who are terrible, terrible defensively, terrible at everything. I just don't like the Atlanta Hawks. The fact that they played the way they did the other night, the energy that Colby White was with, And again, Eric Spoelstra is a mad scientist. The reason nobody wants to play the Miami Heat in the playoffs is because you don't know exactly what they're going to do. And sometimes I don't even know they have a game plan. But if it's not working early, they are going to change it and they are going to stick to it. That crazy zone defense that they were playing against the 76ers was amazing. The communication that the players on the court have. But if you also listen, the NBA was playing – you know, some sound from the bench. Did you hear Jimmy Butler screaming at where people need to be? And, I mean, and the coaches are calling out, you know, corner, corner. I mean, it was just – this is a team that is locked in, and they play as a collective. Like, sometimes you can look at a team and see that, oh, my gosh, look at all these parts for this team. They're much better than the other team if you look at the individual parts. But when you put them together as a collective, how they play off each other, how they feed off each other, how they know where to be, how they play together, that's, you know, the difference in when, you know, playoff basketball and Hero Bowl. I mean, remember, even Michael Jordan, when he was young, until they learned how to play as a team, couldn't get it done in the postseason. And he was dropping crazy numbers. It was the collective of the other team. The individual parts wouldn't. It wasn't that the Bulls didn't have the individual parts. They didn't play completely as a team. And then when they did, it was three straight, a little time off playing baseball, little investigation in the NBA, bam, three more straight. Once they learned how to play together, it was OV. Bulls, I mean, the Heat are playing extremely well together. But if you look at this Bulls team, right now I'm talking about that's a team that's playing like a collective. Like they are, that Bulls team really impressed me just with everything that they did. That was a beatdown. They scored 40 points coming out the chute. They were dominant. They just dominated that game. And I think they go down to Miami, and I think as great as the Heat are in the postseason, you're going to need your man with the cape. And I don't think they're going to be able to get it. I'm sorry. I think the Bulls are going to get over this. And again, Vucevic does exactly what he needs to do. I mean, grabs boards, can stretch the floor. He didn't hit it really any threes last night. I think he hit one. He wasn't making his outside shot, but very effective. Another big body. And then Drummond came in and played probably 12, 13 of the most intense minutes I've seen him play in years. Extremely helpful. You got some bodies down low. You can bang with Bam. And then the guards, though, for the Heat, I think they are going to struggle against Kobe White. Hell, Alex Caruso, I don't give enough damn credit to that kid at all. Now, how is he doing, by the way? He left last night.
Good question, yeah.
That's one thing that I mean, he only played 17 minutes. I can't even remember what it was how he got banged up. I think it was a foot sprain. Was it his foot?
Maybe. I didn't get to see a ton of the first half of this game because I was helping my brother with a project. So I was more locked into the second half of the game. So I think I tuned in after he got injured.
I'm about at 901-360-8255. That is the Sissy's Log Cabin text and listener line. If you're like, John, you idiot, yes, it's a foot sprain. Or no, John, you idiot, he sprained his ankle.
Tell you, John, you idiot. Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that it was a significant left ankle sprain.
Oh, okay. Ankle sprain.
There you go.
Thank you, Adrian. I knew it was something like that. Hey, ankle, foot, elbows, knees, toes,
exactly.
You know, that all, like, what is it? Head, shoulders, knees, and toes, knees,
bingo.
And toes.
Nailed it.
Alex Caruso, though. And did you say Adrian said it was significant?
He said it was significant, but I guess...
Hope he heals quick because they play tomorrow at 6.
Here's supposedly the quote from, I guess, one of the papers after the game. Quote, it was the same one I'd been dealing with the last couple of weeks of the season that we'd been managing and figuring out, Caruso said, of the injury afterward. I tried to tape it up, take some more time when I got out there, and I was kind of ineffective, so it was probably better to have some of those guys finish the game, and they did a great job. Caruso said he would continue to get treatment and just, quote, roll with it. He added that his right foot was okay in spite of the collision with Drummond's foot, and he expected to be ready to play Friday.
All right.
So we'll see.
So we're going to see. We're going to see. Well, I'm looking forward. We'll break this down with Isaac Simpson. The other thing I got to say is, you know, I was really high on the 76ers, if you didn't notice yesterday.
Of course, yeah.
If you couldn't tell, I kind of put a little futures bet on them.
Okay, against the – they're – I get choked up thinking about it. That's a reference from your old producer. The 76ers opened as the favorite in that series against the Knicks.
Oh, no, no, no. I already know about that.
Oh, what kind of future did you put on?
I put them to play in the Eastern Conference.
Oh,
finals.
Wow. I thought you were just saying a series win over the Knicks. Wow.
I didn't put one of my large plays.
Right, right.
Just something
still,
that I thought the odds were really pretty and I like them.
All right.
The thing now that made me nervous about that, yes, they won 105-104 and they did take care of things in the second half. Embiid looked like he was so winded that whole game. He was constantly on his knees. He didn't move very well. It was a lot scary. The defense in the second half for the 76ers is what won that game. But you also had a hurt Jimmy Butler with a torn MCL, and he's out there playing like a madman, injured, and couldn't do anything about it. They weren't hitting their three-pointers. I mean, they did shoot 35%, the Heat did, but it just they like the big ones that they needed, it felt like they couldn't get them. And again, the 76ers, man, they shot the ball in the first half so bad. And I know it was
right
against
that
zone and they couldn't get going. But, man, Embiid, I thought I mean, it made me think, oh, damn. I know he's played, what, in like 10 games since he's been back? Or not even 10.
Not even that. I think that might have been his ninth or tenth
game. Yeah. I know. He's only played a handful of games. And I didn't think about this as much, you know, as – these are professional athletes. As much as you work on conditioning, as much as you go out there and do everything to be in top physical, like to perform at your best level, there's nothing quite as exhausting as playoff basketball. The energy, the adrenaline, and the adrenaline alone can't carry you for four quarters.
That was only his sixth game back.
Sixth game back. So it's less than I even thought.
Yeah, so that was sixth. Wow.
But the one thing that made – just that bet, I am a little bit nervous because, I mean, I like them. I like them against the Knicks a lot. I'm just a little bit nervous possibly if they have to face, like, what, the Bucks.
I was about to say, it seems like you're almost questioning yourself.
I am questioning myself. After seeing Embiid not be quite that MVP Embiid that I was expecting
now
to come
Now, I will say,
back.
John, that's the first time he's played more than 36 minutes since returning.
Golly,
so
he looks so tired.
He just hadn't been out there that, so maybe that he needed that couple days
just
rest.
He didn't move like himself. And right. Did you see how many bunnies he missed?
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I will say, the Miami Heat were smart. They kept bumping him and hitting him and bumping him and hitting him. And you got lower extremity issues when you're a 7-foot dude.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting bumped every single time up and down the court. Man, that's going to wear on you throughout the game. And you could tell Embiid was just exhausted.
Oh, yeah. But that's now, what, 9 in a row for the...
That
76ers?
Is 9 in a row for the 76ers. They did get it done. It just made me a little bit nervous. A lot nervous. So, well, we've been talking a lot of playoff basketball. Damn. We got – you know, we were about to talk some more basketball because Isaac Simpson is
right.
going to join
us.
We
got Dayball, John.
We're also going to talk about Ryan Silverfield's football team,
that's
this
right.
Memphis Tigers team. Yeah, they got their – on 4/20, they have their spring game. I mean, what, did they not want people to show up, man? Did the people at University of Memphis not know 4/20 is a day that people like to go to the World Wing Fest?
That's right.
Like, everybody's going to be at River Garden Park. Like, who's going to be at the spring game when everybody's going to be down at River Garden Park because it's the 22nd annual World Wing Fest and World Wing Fest competition, World Wing Championship Festival, contest, all that put together. Damn, dude. It is Thursday, right?
A thirsty Thursday.
My brain is already – you know what I'm thinking is, like, the older that I get, I think I'm just – like, it's just not working anymore.
Huh. I mean, hey, might be.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. You should say something like, oh, no, John.
Oh, no, John, you're in tip-top shape. Was
you're
that
doing,
better?
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
But you can go to World Wing Fest, the 22nd annual – Can't do it. I can't do it now.
You can do it.
It's the 22nd annual World Championship Hot Wing Contest and Festival. Damn it, I got it.
Boom. Nailed it.
Woo! What was I forgetting?
I don't know.
I think the championship part and the hot wings.
Well, I think you kept trying to say festival, but then championship.
And, yeah, the festival is the last word.
You couldn't figure out how they both were in there together. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, edibles are good for your mind after 45 years old. Maybe not good for the radio. But you can join me and we can talk about it on 420, 22nd Annual World Championship Hot Wing Contest and Festival, River Garden Park. It's going to be an amazing event. It's all to benefit the Ronald McDonald House. You know how much I care about the Ronald McDonald House. They help the families be with these kids who come to St. Jude from all over the country to get the pediatric cancer treatment that they need. Their families need to be with them. They need their families. Ronald McDonald House provides that. This competition has already raised over $330,000 since it started. The proceeds go to the Ronald McDonald House, but it's just such a fun event. You come out there, we got over 60 teams competing for $10,000 in cash prizes. I mean, it's there's two stages. You got bands, and more bands. There's a hot wing eating contest. The weather is going to be beautiful this Saturday. Come down and join us. How do you get your tickets? Just go to worldwingfest.com. That's worldwingfest.com. Get your tickets now. Help out the Ronald McDonald House and come party with us. Don't touch the dial. Isaac Simpson's next on Sports 56 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let's get nuts.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Happy Thirsty Thursday. We got Isaac Simpson back, man. Feels good. It's a great Thursday. Isaac's back, bro. So glad that he made it. I was worried about my man, but he's back. And I will say, it's a great day to go celebrate the return of Isaac Simpson. If you want to celebrate, or maybe if you just want to get lunch, have you thought about checking out Los Cabos right there over on Summer Avenue? Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. Los Cabos food, man, it's so damn good. It's where the flavor of Mexico melts in your mouth, man. And they got lunch specials every single day, Monday through Friday, 10 to 3. They have happy hour from 3 to 8. Yes. And by the way, those lunches are like $6.75 to $10.99. And the food is straight fire. I love their bar, though. You got TVs everywhere. You can go watch some sports. They got day baseball on over there. You know we got baseball on right now, people? 12:10. It's not on right now, but a little pregame action. But we got three baseball games starting at noon today. I'm pretty excited about those as well because I will be having a little action. The Angels and the Rays play, the Rangers and the Tigers play, and then the Guardians and the Red Sox play. And I just want to say I love the Red Sox. I put the Red Sox in a three-game parlay with the Chicago Bulls, with the 76ers on the money line, and I used a 50% parlay boost. Booyah! It was beautiful. I feel like I need to head over to Los Cabos and celebrate again. Los Cabos, head over there, check them out. They're on Summer Avenue, and the food is absolutely fire. Where is Isaac Simpson, man? Hey, Isaac, man, you doing all right?
Man, what's going on, Johnny?
Bro, it's so good to talk to you. I was worried I was never going to talk to you again.
Man, glad to be back, man. It was rough there for a while, man, but I'm just feeling a lot better, man, and just I'm saying, man, just glad to be back here on Johnny's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I was glad to see all the well wishes on the X, also at my text line. Everybody's glad you're back. Isaac, if you didn't know, Isaac's very simple. He's at Isaac_NBA. Give him a follow. Check out the Grizzlies podcast, at Ethos Grizzlies podcast, and get all your Tiger information from him because my man covers the Tigers as well for Who are you covering for again? My brain's not working today.
At the TigerSportsReport.com.
Shoot me in the head. It's really not your fault. I mean, it's my fault, but I think it's because I have COVID brain or something. I don't even know if I've had COVID, but I'm just making an excuse for myself. Isaac, I got to ask you, it's been a while since we've talked. A lot of things have happened over at the University of Memphis with their basketball program. They brought in a couple new players. You got the country singer Colby Rogers, who's joining us, who can shoot the three. You got Dane Danger from Illinois. Big boy, plays with his back to the basket, trying to lose some weight. And then you got P.J. Haggerty, a dude who can fill it up. Tell us a little bit about what you think about Penny's moves and where they're what they got so far out of the transfer portal.
Yeah, I was going to say outside of Danger, man, it's all about the guards, man. He's bringing in guards, man. They're in with about 10 guys right now, man. It seems like they're all guards. Got to get some more forwards and bigs in here as well. But I love what they've done so far. I mean, you look at P.J. Haggerty. I think the thing that I like about him the most is you go back to Kendrick Davis and Javon Quinley. They were a little smaller. B.J. Haggerty brings a good size at 6'3", 192. And I think the theme that you can kind of look at with the guys that Penny is bringing in is defense, three-point shooting, and I think those are the two defense, three-point shooting, and ball handling, I think, are the things that he's looking at with the guys he's bringing in. And I think B.J. Haggerty, man, right out of the gate, is one of the best players in the portal. 21 points last year. He can really rebound the basketball. 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals a game. He's not a great three-point shooter, but he definitely fills those other categories. Like I said, I love that size that he brings at the point guard position. That's something that Penny hasn't really had in a while since probably Jeremiah Martin that first year. Also got Colby Rogers, one of the best three-point shooters in the nation, 41% from 3 on 7 attempts. Just a really huge pickup. I love the combination of those guys in the backcourt. And Dane Danger is a guy who I think he's gonna be a guy off the bench. I would like to see them go out and bring in somebody else. But I would think he's a good depth piece. He, like you said, he's trying to get in shape, trying to lose some weight. We don't want another situation that we saw with Jordan Brown this year.
Yeah,
you definitely don't want another situation like that, man. Because that definitely didn't work out. Came in camp out of shape, so I'm sure that's kind of where that came from. Penny's probably kind of talked to him about that situation, so he's trying to get in better shape, man, and be ready, because Penny's offense, man, he likes to get up and down. This is not a half-court, slow, back-and-down offense, so if you're going to play for Penny, man, you got to be able to get up and down the court, and I think that's the issue that we saw with Jordan Brown this year. But a lot of other guys.
Can I ask you something real quick about that, just to stick on this point?
Yeah, go ahead.
That was my whole thing. When I saw that Dane Danger was, transferring from Illinois to Memphis, I was thinking to myself, well, he's going from a system that did not fit him to playing with a coach who runs a system that does not fit him either.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I don't understand. I know money talks, BS walks, and I guess he got his bag, but I don't know, man. I'm a little bit worried about this. And again, I want somebody who can get up out. I mean, Naquan Tomlin, like that he get up and down the court. He hit threes. He spread the court. He played defense. He was aggressive. Didn't have to, run a bunch of stuff for him with his back to the basket. I don't know, man. I'm worried about the Danger situation. And can he get down and lose the weight that he's expected to lose? I mean, is he really that locked in and focused? I hope so.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not an ideal fit because, like I said, you got Nick Jordan coming back, and those are the kind of big, like you said, Naquan Tomlin, the guy that can really get up and down the court, athletic, can rebound, and that's not really Danger. I mean, he's hustle guy around the rim, put backs and stuff like that, but he's not a guy that's going to really be pushing it up tempo. So hopefully he can get in shape. But that's why I kind of said at the top that I hope that's not his plan for the five. Hopefully the Danger's going to be a depth guy and he's going to bring somebody else in better than that, because I don't think he's the ideal fit. If you're going to be a really good basketball team and play the way Penny wants to play, I don't think he's a fit at center. A guy that I really hope they get involved with is Kayshon Pryor out of South Florida. Tiger fans should be very familiar with him in that win against Memphis here at FedEx Forum. He really came in and put it on the Tigers. I mean, hustles, actually shot the three at, I think, 36%, hit, I think, close to 50 threes on the season. I didn't even realize he shot the three that well, but just a hustle guy, rebound, gives 110%. He's in the portal, but he also entered the NBA draft, so you kind of have to wait for what's going on there. But I really hope Penny gets involved there. Like I said, it's been mostly guards. Mark Freeman is a kid who played at Southwind. He was the OVC player of the year in 22-23. Was out last year with an injury. He's a guy that I'm glad to see Penny get involved with some more Memphis kids, because I think one thing that gets lost in the portal at times, when you bring in kind of these mercenaries from all these other schools, they don't care about Memphis as far as the name on the front of the jersey. They're kind of just thinking about themselves and can they get to the NBA and things like that. So it would be nice to have some more real Memphis kids on this team to kind of have some guys that really care about the university and care about Memphis and stuff like that, because I think that matters. I really do think that matters, and I think that was probably an issue with this team last year. I know you still have Malcolm on this team, but
Mal discontent, already yeah. on the front end. I mean, the dude really wakes up bitching. It's just the way I feel like that's just how he is.
Yeah,
you know what I always call Malcolm, right? He's going to be, you watch, and he's going to be that bus driver that every kid hates.
Yeah, Malcolm could definitely be moody, man. There's no question about that, man. It always seems like there's something going on with Malcolm. But, yeah, Mark Freeman played at Southwind. Was at Morehead State, was a player of the year, like I said. Didn't play last year, but I think they have a really good shot of him. He's a smaller guard, 5'10", 160, so he would be kind of a backup to P.J. Haggerty. I think a depth piece that I think he would be a good player to bring in. Devon Burns is another kid that played at Sam Houston last year. Played at Collierville, 6'5", 215, small forward. He shoots 39% from three. Yeah, he played at Collierville. Played at Sam Houston last year. He's a guy that Penny has reached out to as well. So a couple of Memphis kids in there. You got the two kids from North Texas, Aaron Scott and Dylan Bugs. Both of those guys could really shoot the three. Like I said, just kind of sticks into that ball handling, three-point shooting, and defense. And I think Penny is doing a much better job than last year. Last year, it just seemed like it was all about just collecting the most talent. Like, it didn't matter whether it fit. Like you look at the Jordan Brown situation. You could do out about it. If you watch the way he played, he didn't fit the way Memphis played at all. And I just think he's looking at more about the three-point shooting. I think is important, because that's something that they really haven't had. And it seems like these guys he's bringing in, he wants to have three-point shooting all throughout the roster. And that's another reason why I think Kayshon Pryor fits, because even him playing at five, he can knock down a three at a pretty decent rate. So having that shooting, having multiple ball handlers, and guys that can fit his system, because defense wasn't this team's strong suit. And Penny has always been a coach that's defense first. And that's why this team, I think, struggled, because they couldn't play the way that he wanted to play. And I think he figured it out, and I think it wasn't much he could do about it midseason. I think it was just who they were, and he tried to make it work, and it just never came together. So I think he understands that, and I think he's trying to get back to those defensive principles. And you can just tell by the guys that they're bringing in that those are kind of the three aspects that he's valuing.
You know, I was thinking about when you mentioned John Bugs. That's a guy who's, he can hit it. He makes all his free throws. He shoots an unbelievable clip from the three-point line. Last year, I think he shot 45% or something close to that. The thing is, though, is he's not a guy who takes a lot of shots, which might go well with a team like this. I mean, he takes the ones that come to him. I mean, this is not a guy who goes out there and is trying to force feed the issue.
Yeah, he would be another guy. He would be another guy off the bench. I don't think he's
– oh, yeah, definitely.
He's looking at him for the starter. But, yeah, he'd be a depth piece and a guy that can come in and knock down some shots for you. Like you said, he shot 45% on five attempts last season. So he gets them up. And I think you having a guy off the bench like that can really shoot the basketball, I think that's a positive. Because, again, this team – these teams on a Penny, he just hasn't had this type of shooting. Most of Penny's teams have always been offensively challenged. They play really good defense, and they try to muck it up and beat you that way. Having these guys that he's bringing in now, I think it's going to be a completely different dynamic, because I think not only will they be able to play the defense that Penny wants to play, they can also knock down shots. I mean, we've seen these teams on a Penny go on these long offensive droughts, just can't make shots because they haven't really had guys that can knock down shots in that way. I mean, you had Kendrick Davis, and that was about it. Now, most of those other guys, you really had nobody that you could rely on to shoot from the perimeter, and it just seems like he's bringing in guys. He wants shooting all over the roster, and I think that could really help this team.
I dig it. Now, gotta switch gears, but we're gonna do that on the other side, Isaac, because we have to talk about Ryan Silverfield. We gotta talk about this spring game. We gotta talk about this team. Everybody is starting to catch a little bit of that Tiger football fever with a lot of the talk about them being the best team outside of the ACC, SEC, Big Ten, and Big 12. Do we now call them now the Power Four? Are people calling them that? I mean, what do people call it now? Because there's no Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's it, man. It's just depressing to think about, man, when you think about Memphis, how they're on the outside looking in of all of this, man. It's just, God, man. When you're close to the program and you're here in Memphis, you feel like you just look at the facility, the Lori Walton, everything they've done. I mean, they were in the Cotton Bowl a few years ago, and it just seems like they should be in, man. But it just, I don't know. Hopefully, the only thing you can look forward to now, I think, is possibly the AAC, maybe. And it's ever changing. That probably won't even be the same. Probably be a situation like we thought when we get into the Big East and it turns into the American. That would probably be a situation similar to that. So, well, yeah, man, it just sucks.
There is a silver lining, though, because this year, them not being in one of those big, you know, conferences, you know, with all the conference expansion, them being left out actually might play right into their favor. Because if Ryan Silverfield is the highest ranked non-Power 4 team, and they get that fifth automatic qualifying spot into the 12-team playoff, I don't think Memphis fans are going to be too freaked out, and then maybe somebody does come a-calling.
Yeah, they definitely got a shot. I definitely think they got a shot. I know we'll talk about it on the other side.
Don't touch the dial. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
We are real sports talk. Sports 56, WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM. And 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
The only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio, hanging out with Brian Dacus all day long, all day strong on a beautiful thirsty Thursday. And it's Thursday, and it's a normal Thursday because Isaac Simpson is back. We talked all about the Tigers on the other side. He covers the Tigers, the Grizzlies, and everything Memphis. He loves him some Cowboys, and he also loves the NBA hoops, and especially his Grizzlies. Isaac, welcome back to the program. Thank you for waiting through the break. Now it's time to talk about football. Memphis Tigers, Ryan Silverfield, what they're building over there this year. It feels like this is a coach who's very confident in what he's bringing to the table. Spring game is this Saturday. How's everything going over there in the football world?
Yeah, man, things are looking good over there, man. I like the way the team is shaping up this season, and I think they have a real chance of getting that playoff spot. They're getting that automatic G5 bid. I really do think they have a chance. I kind of wish that Florida State game wasn't this year. You talk how Liberty kind of didn't really play anybody. You go undefeated, and it just kind of looked better. You know, that's going to be a tough one down in Tallahassee. But outside of that, man, I love the way this team is looking. They're really excited. The running back room, I think, is probably the best position group. I mean, Mario Anderson transferred from South Carolina. They're really excited about what he's going to be able to do. I mean, you also still have Sutton Smith, who kind of had a breakout year last year. And Brandon Thomas is back as well. So they're loaded at running back. Jake Ducker is actually in the transfer portal. There's a lot of competition over there because they got three backs that can really go. So I'm really excited about what they're going to be able to do. And Steph Hennigan, man, and program's all-time lead passer, he's back. You know what he can do when he's healthy and he's playing well. So, I mean, it's exciting to have him back. He's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. You look at the wide receiver room, Rock Taylor, breakout season last year. Demir McComsey is back. Kobe Drake, who was kind of a safety valve for Steph Elliott, he's back. You got a couple young guys, Marcelo Bussey and Jair Shorter, guys that are coming on that I think they're gonna get some playing time and be solid for them this year. So a lot to be excited about, man. I think the offensive line, I think, is probably the biggest question mark. You have Kalen Pounder, Jacob Likes, and Davion Carter all graduated and moved on, and you got a lot of new guys on that offensive line. I think Jonah Gamble is the only returning starter. So you're kind of remaking your offensive line. I think that's going to be the big question. How well can they protect Steph Hennigan, especially early in the season? Because I think that as offensive line, it takes a while for those guys to develop chemistry, and you can only do so much in practice until you get in those real games, man. Those, a lot of people don't understand how tough it is to play on that offensive line, man. That's not an easy thing because it's a group effort, and it takes a while to build chemistry with those guys and build a rapport. So that's going to be something to watch going into the season. I think they have a lot of depth on defense. Still have Chandler Martin back, who is, I think, one of the best players in the country. They have a lot of depth in on the end. So this team is looking good, man. I love everything I'm hearing. Love the way the team is shaping up, but I think that offensive line is going to be the biggest question going into the season.
So right now, the one big concern you're saying is the offensive line and also the schedule with Florida State. If they can put that schedule, I mean, when I look at their schedule, the third week, September 14th, they have Florida State. They get to open up against North Alabama and Troy, kind of get going. If they just have a good showing and play like they did against Missouri and even lost that game and then went 11-1, I think that would be a hard thing to, you know, I don't know who could duplicate that. The thing is, they have to beat everybody, though, in the American. And who's the team that right now that gives you just a little pause for cause?
I mean, when you look at the schedule, I mean, you got Tulane at the end of the year. That last game, you had to actually go to New Orleans, and that one, I think that could you hate to be in that situation. You come in that situation, ten and one, and you got to win that game going into the last game of the season. So that could be a big one. You just kind of look at their early schedule. I think they have a kind of a tough run. You had Florida State at Navy. You had those back to back road games. Then you got MTSU at home, but then you come back and you got to go to South Florida. The schedule isn't the greatest, but again, man, I really do think this team could be the best in America. And I think they can beat any of these teams. But if one stood out outside of the Florida State game, I think it's that season finale at Tulane. I think that could be one that could be tough. And you see where Tulane is at that position. They have a claim as well that could be one of the better teams in this conference, and they could be possibly in the same situation. Think about both of those teams coming in, possibly have an opportunity to represent America in the playoff. That could be a huge game coming up on what would be November 28th, Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Day, actually, that game. So that could be a huge one. That's the one I would circle as far as the American games are concerned.
I will say, though, the one good thing about Tulane, yeah, you would have to beat them. That would be very important. I do like the fact that they do have to go to Oklahoma this year, and they have Kansas State the week before. They got a 2-week schedule that's a little bit painful, and then after the Oklahoma, they got to go to Louisiana. So I almost feel like there is a chance they could be higher than Cooter Brown, or they could be so deflated it's not even funny. After 4 weeks.
Yeah, like you said, they definitely have a tough schedule. There's no question about that. Tougher than Memphis. So
yes.
You said you got that back-to-back in Kansas State at home, and then you're on the road to Oklahoma, and then you're on the road to Louisiana. Louisiana's been a good football team,
mm-hmm.
So that's not easy at all, those three games. So they could trip up early, or they find a way to win those games, and they could be really, really high, like you said. So it's going to be interesting to watch play out. But I'm with Ron Silverfield. I'm pretty confident about this team and what they're going to be able to do this year. And I think Tiger fans would be excited.
Now, you say the one big question mark's that offensive line. They got a great stable of running backs. Their quarterback, Seth Hennigan, you know about that baller. Great wide receivers. How worried? I mean, is it the depth? Is it the starting five? What is it about the offensive line that gives you a little pause?
It's just almost a completely new group. Like I said, I think Jonah Gamble is the only returning starter. So, yeah, you got, what's that, four new guys on that offensive line. I think the depth is pretty good. They brought in some guys. I mean, got Kendall McKenzie, Calvin McMillan, Mitchell Gildenhouse. I mean, they brought in some good guys. So I'm not concerned about the depth. It's just I think it is good that they have a couple easy games early because those guys are going to need a while to kind of get some chemistry. And I think in a couple easier games, I think that'll be good for them to kind of try to build that chemistry. But I think they'll be okay. But I just think if there's any question of any position group on the team, I think offensive line would be the biggest question. Just so much shift on it. Again, only one returning starter. It's just going to take those guys a while to kind of build that the requisite chemistry.
Isaac, I'm so glad that you're back. I'm very, very glad. I don't know if you're busy this Saturday. If you want, I got some tickets to the 22nd Annual World Championship Hot Wing Contest and Festival at River Garden Park. You ready to get out and party, or are you going to be at the game?
Man, I'll probably just be chilling this weekend. Still not 100%, but I'm doing better.
Well, man, Isaac, I'm glad you're back. Be blessed. Everybody follow him at Isaac_NBA. You doing a little ethos? You feeling right for the Ethos Grizzlies podcast?
Yeah, man. Actually, we're doing a spaces tonight. Reflecting back on the interseason presser, just getting people's thoughts on, giving our thoughts on the season and. Like to hear from you as well, man. So check us out on X. We'll be doing a spaces tonight around 8:30.
Man, Isaac, be blessed. I'm glad you're back, brother.
Will do, man. Talk to you next week.
That's my good buddy, Isaac Simpson. We're late for a break, but guess what? We come back on the other side with the sweet, lovely Evie Van Pelt from the Rebel Walk. It's time to talk some Ole Miss sports. Hottie Toddy, Sports 56 98, 5 FM. I'll see you on the dark side.